It's time for Hoke Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hey, hello there. Welcome to the program. We're glad you're here. Thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning. On today's show, we have an excellent guest, Dr. James Calouette. He is a board-certified orthopedic surgeon specializing in joint replacement and adult reconstructive surgery. He holds 7 patents for medical and orthopedic technology and serves as an associate clinical professor of orthopedics at the University of California, Irvine School of Medicine. And I might add, he's been voted to Best Doctors in America for the last 8 years, so he's definitely a guy you want on your side if you're thinking about hip or knee surgery. He's also the chairman of Newport Orthopedic Institute in partnership with Hoag Hospital in Irvine, California. Welcome, Dr. Calouette, and thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy day to join us.
Thank you, Deborah. Thanks for having me.
The topic today is total joint replacement, which sounds like a really huge deal if you're someone who's about to undergo this kind of surgery. But there's been some tremendous advances in this area as of late. And Dr. Calouette, you've been at the forefront, a bit of a pioneer in making some of these advances possible. What would you say is the single biggest advance in total joint replacement in the last 20 years?
I think that the greatest advance in joint replacement is how we have changed the operation to allow for rapid recovery from the procedure. When I first started out, patients were in the hospital for generally a week and then would be on crutches for up to 12 weeks after their surgery. Now we have patients up and starting to walk 6 hours after the operation, and for many of our hip replacement patients, they're out of the hospital within 23 hours. So,
okay, now just hearing that, that sounds so scary, right? They're walking within,
Well, I think it depends on your point of view. For patients that are highly motivated and want to get back to their life, it's exciting that they can actually get up and go that quickly, as opposed to having to be in a rehabilitation mode for months at a time.
Absolutely, but bearing weight so soon after, I mean, how is this even possible?
Well, we've made quite a few advances over the last 15 years, actually over the last 30, but particularly over the last 15 years when it comes to performing the operation, managing the discomfort around the operation, and helping to recover from the operation. We've really focused on all of these areas, and we have redesigned the actual surgical procedure and all of the instruments, many of the medications. So we've really looked at a comprehensive approach in order to allow patients to regain their mobility very quickly.
I have to say, I had total ACL replacement last year, and you know, I was scared afterwards to bear weight. But, you know, in the past 20, 30 years ago, I would have been in the hospital in a cast for a long, long time after that kind of surgery. And if you just are brave enough and you trust your doctors, boy, there's some huge, huge advances you can make in bearing weight almost right away.
I think that you've really hit on an important point, which is the fear that surrounds surgery. And I think that, I mean, it's been demonstrated, at least with regard to joint replacement, that the number one cause for patients to delay or not have surgery is fear.
Right.
And so I think it's very important that we help to educate patients and help them move beyond their fear so that they can get rid of their suffering and get back to their life.
That was my next question. How important is patient education?
I think it's huge. I think that we can do a lot. We have so many different ways that we can teach today between the internet, DVDs, home education programs. We give lectures to our patients preoperatively. Mm-hmm. I feel that as you educate patients, their anxiety level will drop, and they will. You can also, what I feel is very important with my patients is to use every possible tool. So I teach patients how to visualize a good outcome. I use all the different ways that we can to try to maximize their outcome from the procedure.
So it's not just technical. It's really more of a holistic approach.
I feel that that's very important. So I try to use a comprehensive approach, including, you know, both the mind and nutrition and all of those sorts of things, because it gives the patient an opportunity to control their outcome, and I feel that if patients are more in control, they do better.
Well, absolutely, and there are things you can do even before the surgery to strengthen yourself for that procedure.
Yes.
Maybe you could outline some of those things.
Certainly. One of the difficult things for patients with arthritis is to walk. They have pain when they walk, and mm-hmm. so what we try to do is strengthen muscles in a way where they don't have to be weight-bearing, meaning standing on their feet. Mm-hmm. So we get them to start doing isometric exercises. They can ride a stationary bike. Getting in a pool is a fantastic way to strengthen right. lots of muscle groups, and so I encourage that, and we want to get them started as early as possible prior to their surgical intervention.
That's wonderful, because, of course, swimming, there's no weight-bearing, really, or very little.
That's right, and yet it's a great way to strengthen all the different muscles.
Also, Pilates and massage therapy may play a role.
We actually focus quite a bit on Pilates. We have a physical therapy group that we work with, both in our building and in several areas around Orange County, and they are a Pilates-based therapy group, and so mm-hmm. we feel that that's a wonderful way. Pilates and yoga are great ways to focus on both stretching and strengthening and balance, mm-hmm. all of which are important in your recovery.
Balance, especially if you're talking about the elderly.
Yes.
Balance becomes a big issue.
Yes.
Now, maybe those over 70 might not be able to do the full Pilates routine, but might be able to do some core exercises, even sitting in a chair.
Yes. I really feel that with the right motivation, all patients have the ability to get stronger prior to surgery. And so it's really a combination of responsibility between the patient and the surgeon to help them achieve that prior to surgery.
Now, doctor, you talk a lot about options for joint replacement at any age. Let's get into some of those options.
Sure. With regard to the hip, we are starting to really appreciate that for most patients that have early pain in their hip, it's usually due to osteoarthritis, and mm-hmm. osteoarthritis is the common arthritis, the wear and tear arthritis. And the way I like to explain it to patients is that the tread on their tire is starting to wear down. But what often will cause this is a very subtle abnormality in the anatomy, mm-hmm. What's known as hip dysplasia, which we often think of with dogs and things
right,
like that.
Right, German Shepherds.
Right, but it's true in adults as well, and we often see that there are very slight anatomic variations that can result in arthritis. And so what we'd like to do is intervene early, if we can, to correct these anatomic variations before the patient develops a lot of arthritic change and a lot of cartilage wear. And there are several procedures that we can do. We can do arthroscopic and open procedures to help improve the anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
If, however, the patient presents after the joint is already arthritic, then we're fairly limited in terms of surgical options. And we usually end up needing to resurface the joint, which is commonly known as hip replacement.
Okay. Now, what are the symptoms? So that maybe people don't know what the symptoms are. If they went in early, you could do the intervention. They would, avoid that surgery.
Right.
Tell us the symptoms.
Patients will often think that they have strained the groin muscle, mm-hmm. and when in fact they've actually got early arthritic symptoms. So I would say to people that if they do have symptoms of a groin strain that doesn't resolve after a couple of weeks, that they really ought to look more closely at it and perhaps see an orthopedic surgeon to evaluate them.
And what about sometimes people have a little hip pain after they walk, through a museum they're on vacation
right.
and they're walking in cities?
Right. And again, they'll typically have pain in the groin or upper thigh, occasionally in the buttock region, mm-hmm. and it will usually occur with weight-bearing activity. So prolonged walking, prolonged standing, all these things are classic stories that we hear with regard to hip arthritis.
Great, great information. Now, many people get to the point where they need both knees replaced. Can you tell us the things a person might weigh in deciding whether they should get one knee done at a time or get both done simultaneously?
Sure. I think that what people need to recognize is that when you operate on both knees simultaneously, the risks associated with surgery don't just double. Mm-hmm. They actually go up about threefold. And the reason for that is that there are many different physiologic changes going on during and immediately after the operation. And so in my opinion, patients really need to be in excellent health. They need to have no cardiac or kidney or lung problems. If they do, they really are not safe candidates, in my opinion, to have both knees replaced.
Thank you so much. We're speaking with Dr. James Calliwett about total joint replacement. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Stay with us. There's much more to come, including a discussion on minimally invasive knee surgery.